The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Olive Branch Pet Hospital, and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. It's Wednesday, and it is time for Sit, Stay, and Listen with Dr. Mark on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. This is a great opportunity to learn all about how you can take good care of your pets, if you're considering getting a pet, what to do when your pet gets sick. Any question that you might have, all you have to do is text it in at 850-437-1620. Dr. Mark Sprayberry is here. He is with Olive Branch Pet Hospital, Play and Stay Boarding. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
It's great to see you again.
Yeah. It's good to be here, Meg, always.
So everybody's coming in with smiles on their face. Everybody's in a good mood. I think it's the weather.
Yeah, I'm happy about the weather. The weather is good. It's good motorcycle weather, you know.
Yeah,
this is what I do.
It's
frisky
dog weather, too. I think the dogs like it.
I tell you, the daycare at the office has been, they've been having a big time back there.
Everybody feels it. It's the energy. There's no humidity. You don't want to take a nap.
Yeah, they had a little pumpkin eating contest.
Uh-uh.
At the
Are you serious?
Last week.
Oh,
and
my
it was
gosh.
Just funny to see them, pumpkin puree, and then you got to put a little whipped cream up there on it.
See, I didn't know pumpkin was okay.
Yeah,
so it is okay, but just not the seeds?
Yeah. People, on the internet, it says great for upset stomachs and this and that. I think they've done some studies where it maybe doesn't do as much as everybody touts it to be, like the internet usually does. But
Well, that's good to know.
It doesn't hurt them. But got a question for you, Meg. About the show today. So what would you say is the average vocabulary, word-wise, the number of words for a dog?
Oh my goodness. Well, gosh. See, I'm very dog, biased or dog friendly. I think they're way more intelligent than we give them credit for. I really do. And so every dog that I've ever had, the level of understanding is really wild to me, because you say sit, stay, listen, right? Sit, stay, the basic commands. My little Maltese actually would talk sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, we would,
like Mr. Ed, the talking horse.
Well, not quite that good, but just they communicate in a way that I knew that they understood what I was saying to them.
Mm-hmm.
If I was saying let's go out, or it might have just been the inflection of my voice, so it's kind of, cuz that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But there are other times I'd just be talking and they would know, and they would nod their little head and I'd know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think that's a much richer vocabulary than we give them credit for. So that'd be my take on. I have no idea how many words.
Just throw out a number.
Thousands, maybe?
Okay. So, I used to know all this, but as I've gotten older, you forget more than
I'm fascinated by the question now.
So, I'm going to read this. The average dog understands about 165 words.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's more than that.
Yeah. Well, highly intelligent dogs can learn up to 250 words or more.
Uh-huh.
Professional working dogs have a vocabulary amount 250 words or often have vocabularies around 150 or 1.5 times larger than the average. Exceptional cases like border collies are, they've studied that they're probably the most intelligent breed. They're a herding breed.
Mm-hmm.
Is over 1,000.
Wow.
So
what about
right.
Police dogs and CNI dogs that are trained for a specific purpose?
I think that would be, category of the professional working dog.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the board for Canine Companions for Independence out of Santa Monica, California. They help people with wheelchairs, and then they do some seizure and diabetes type dogs.
Right.
And not all dogs, I hate to say, are as intelligent as some. It's like
no,
in humans.
I've been around dogs that are kind of
correct.
Just
so,
don't have any.
Yeah. So,
but then there's other ones really sharp. You can tell in their eyes that they're really sharp.
Yeah, it almost like there's a human in there.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if you believe that kind of thing. But I just kind of, I've had dogs come in the office that, you know, when I look at them, I just think they're going to respond in English. They're just going to start talking back to me. I had a French bulldog patient one time. I swear that dog was was part human. But, yeah, now for cat, well, anyway, for cats, it's about 25 to 50 words. Now, as I've said before, Meg, you know, cats are from another planet, right?
Okay, but here's the thing. Is it 25 or 50 words really? Or are they just not letting us know that they know 1,000 words?
Well, actually, that's a very good point, and I would say that that's probably
what I'm thinking. They're probably not letting us know just how much they know.
Yeah, so it's pretty impressive. I'm trying to remember, I was in Ireland, just a wonderful country if you ever get a chance to go, and part of the little tour around the Isle of Moher and, and all the cliffs and all that stuff. This driver had been driving this route for like 30, 40 years. Now, you know, some of those roads are on cliffs, and I'd look down off this little bus we're on. It's like a 300 or 400 foot drive, I'm thinking, and he'd kind of get on the edge of the road, and you feel it go all the road, and I'm thinking, oh my God, we're going to die any
minute. Don't sneeze.
Exactly. And so he said, now, there's a friend of mine that's been herding, you know, sheep for, you know, all of his life. And the man, gentleman was probably in his 70s. I'm wanting to say his name was Brendan Fisher. Anyway, he's the...
Brendan sounds Irish.
Brendan, yeah. He's the Irish sheep herder. If you look it up, it's on YouTube. And for, I think, €5 he charges. We got to watch him do it. He had two border collies. He had multiple border collies.
Right,
he had
right.
two. And he had taught these dogs different languages.
Oh, wow.
So he could control one. One of them didn't understand the other's commands. So these things would go like way up on top of the mountain, and he'd kind of control them a little bit with a whistle because it's too far for his voice to carry.
Right.
And then down, and you could hear him saying this and that, whatever. It was really impressive.
Oh, I mean, sure.
You know,
they have an intelligence and an understanding. And I saw a recent story, and I thought of you. There was a story in Florida where a woman was walking, an older woman was walking the dog, the family dog, and I guess she fell. And then the husband reported that she was missing because it was usually what she would come back from walking the dog in 30 minutes or so. Well, the policeman that went and started patrolling the neighborhood, this dog, it looked like a golden retriever, came running up to her, still had the leash on him, and put his paws up on the car, got her attention. She followed and led her to the owner, who was probably a good 100 yards away.
That is incredible.
How does a dog, I mean, how do they have the intelligence to know what to do? I mean, there are millions of stories about dogs that do unusual, heroic acts like that. And you can't, that tells me there's more intelligence going on than we're giving them credit for.
So I looked it up, Meg.
Okay.
His name is Brendan, that's B-R-E-N-D-A-N, Ferris, F-E-R-R-I-S. I mean, take a few minutes, folks, out there and
Google it.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, you think your dog's smart.
Watch
you know, this. This is, you know, I've got Shetland sheepdogs, you know, everybody knows, and they're wonderful and they're easily trained and sweet and kind, but they're not Brendan Ferris's dogs. And
right.
So he kind of went into how he kind of develops these dogs, and basically he says that he starts when they're little bitty puppies, and he keeps them with him 24 hours a day. And after about a week or 10 days or 2 weeks, I forgot what it was, his number of years ago, but it's a period of time. He says the dog becomes bonded to him, and they will listen to every word he says. So that's when he starts teaching them different commands. So he can work, because you have to have two working together. They have to be able to be controlled separately. So anyway, I thought it was pretty fun. I wanted to bring that up. You know, Ann, my sidekick, can't be with us today, but we were talking about yesterday. I said, what are you going to talk about? I said, well, I've been thinking about, I'm not sure. And she said, what's the vocabulary? And I'll be honest with you. I told her I thought it was probably, you know, 400 or 500 words, 300 or 400 words, something like that. So I wasn't too far off. I was taught something back 30 years ago in school.
I'm probably giving them more credit than they deserve, but I've had a lot of really strange experiences I can't explain other than intelligence.
But I had to look it up, and it's pretty incredible. But, you know, on YouTube, you'll see wild animals that come and get somebody off a highway and take them down because they're calf or their little one is
all
stuck.
All kinds of stories that you see out
it's
there.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
It's pretty. They're just special dogs and cats and all are animal friends. They're really special.
They are. If you just joined us, we're talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry. He is with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and also Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. If you've got a question for him, 850-437-1620. Now, this question changes the subject a little bit because we're moving away from dogs to cats.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
But it says, we have a 12-year-old house cat that never goes outside. She's either in our condo apartment in town or our condo apartment on the beach. Nice life.
Mm-hmm.
From a medical perspective.
I'd like to be that cat.
I was going to say, sometimes I think maybe it would be a good thing. Yeah. From a medical perspective, how important is an annual rabies shot? How about distemper shots? So I guess they're thinking if it's not exposed to anything.
Well, I'll tell you this. The state of Florida requires a rabies shot once a year, or if your veterinarian does it every 2 or 3 years, I think that's acceptable. Now, the reason I do once a year, Megan, let me just clarify what I'm saying. I'm, you know, veterinarians, we all have a choice in how we do within the law that's required. And if your veterinarian does it every 3 years, that's totally fine. I do them every year because I see a lot of military personnel.
Oh,
and if they get
right.
shipped overseas, there's no other country in the world, with that meaning Hawaii and Japan. Hawaii, I know, is not
another country,
another world. It's another, but it might as well be as far as it comes to rabies. There's no rabies in Japan or Hawaii.
Interesting.
Correct. But but if they've had a 3 year, 2 year, I have to give them a shot like today, and then 30 days later, I have to give them another rabies, and then I do a titer, rabies titer, send it to Kansas State Vet School, and they tell us what it is. And it takes about a month to get that. So, you know, that's why I do the 1 year. Plus, we're number one in the country for rabies, or have been in the recent past.
In Florida?
Yes.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, it's a warm environment.
So many strays, is that part of it?
It could be part of that, too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot out there, and, you know, wild animals. So I still recommend a rabies once a year. I mean, heaven forbid the kitty gets out and bites somebody that's trying to help them. You know, then they're going to have to go into quarantine. I had a dog recently had to do that. They've bitten a couple of children. So you just don't want that kind of heat. As far as distemper and leukemia vaccines, I usually will not do a leukemia vaccine after the first year if they're indoor only. And that comes from the American Board of Feline Practitioners. As far as distemper, you know, the Khaleesi, the herpes virus, you know, it's out there. And if this little cat goes on a screen and porch, absolutely you need to give all those vaccines. Because, you know, stray cats come up and rub their noses. And that's how they get leukemias, you know, nasal secretions, sharing food bowls and stuff. So for them, if it's totally enclosed, they don't breathe the outside air at all, it's never gone outside or tried to dart outside, then, you know, rabies may be all you need. I usually leave it up to the owners to make the decision, but I do advise them. I recommend it once a year. A
better
rabies.
Safe than sorry, right?
It is, because, you know, if you get behind the eight ball on this, it's just, it's a pain. And then, you know, the good people at animal control get involved because that's a, you know, thing. So, yeah, so my advice to her or him, the owner, is to, I'd go ahead and do it.
Okay,
but
good.
Talk to their vet.
Great question. Okay, we got a comment that came in. By the way, no snakes in Hawaii either. No rabies and no snakes.
Yeah, you know, Ireland, you know, I didn't know this, guys, but there's no natural predator in Ireland.
Right. Well, you know, the story of the saint drove them out.
Yeah, correct.
All right, we got another question for you. This is a good one, too. We're talking about vaccines and shots today. What about older dogs getting shots, say, over 12 plus?
Yes. I was in a meeting about this, and vaccinologists was talking about this, a veterinarian or a physician that studies that.
Right.
And I do recommend them because, you know, Maggie, we're 29 and holding, you know. And you know, I'm six. Yeah, I know. I turned 64 October 5th. And, you know, my doctor, okay, you got to have the herpes or the, varicella zoster, the shingle shot.
Oh, okay.
And then you got 65, you got to have like the pneumonia shot and those kind of things because our immune systems are not as good.
Right.
Do you want your pet to have a problem that could have been prevented and end up passing away or getting really ill from it just because you thought, well, he's too old, he doesn't need shots? So I was
it's almost like they need him more in a way.
Yeah, I was at a, like I say, I was at this meeting and they were talking about this, and I went specifically, and that was a question somebody asked. And so, yes, I do require it. Now, if your dog is 15 or 16 years old, it's severe heart failure, it's renal failure, it's, shall we say, not long for the world.
Right.
Then, you know, I that's a question. I usually and the law defers to the veterinarian. Mm-hmm. If we say your pet does not need, I don't think it's safe to give it vaccines, and something comes up, they will defer to our judgment.
Okay, that makes sense.
But yeah.
Because obviously every dog's different.
Yeah, correct. And everybody's immune system's different. Right, I mean, a vaccine for you may work differently than one for me because we have different genetic.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Okay, I've got a couple questions coming here, so we'll try to get to these quickly. And if you've got a question, 850-437-1620. Hi, Dr. Sprayberry. You take care of my dog, Dakota and Gracie, Australian Shepherds. What can I do to prevent excessive shedding? I'm not complaining about the hair. They're wonderful. Loyal animals with an extensive vocabulary. I have to spell words out to avoid them getting excited.
I know.
But I believe they are learning to spell. I love that. That's so true.
Hey, Dakota and Gracie. Hey, well.
So shedding, that's a big issue.
Let me tell you something. If somebody can come up with something to prevent shedding,
really,
you will probably
billionaire.
Be in, yeah, you'll probably be in Elon Musk territory as far as wealth and all. You know what I do on my shelties, or what my wonderful retired nurse who still Cheryl Presley is wonderful, and she comes in and she's retired now. Mm-hmm. You know, and but she worked for me for about 20 some odd years, and it came with the clinic, one of those when I bought it 24 years ago.
Wow.
And but she grooms a little bit on Friday. She mainly some older clients that, and when the pet dies or the patient or the owner dies, you know, she doesn't really take new clients. So this is not advertising her services because she doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But what she does on my dogs once a month, and it needs to be more often, is she will comb them out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there is different brushes for that.
Right.
Okay. And if they're long haired, like a Sheltie, like I got Shelties, that's kind of like Australian Shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she lifts the hair up and then combs that undercoat out.
Right.
And so they're still fluffy, but when you pet them, they're very silky and they don't have the
knotted feel.
They don't have kinda, that thick, you know, where you put your hands in there, you can't get your hands out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to comment, Australians, wonderful dogs, one of the smartest breeds ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
clearly
so,
hers are learning how to spell.
Uh-huh, yeah, you got to say, you know, we got to where we couldn't say outside. We had to go, you want to go O-U-T.
Right.
Or T-R-E-A-T for treat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
it's pretty
that's
crazy.
Yeah, so that was a question from Johnny. So thank you for sending that in, Johnny.
Thank you, Johnny.
Okay, so this was another one from Nathan. He says, I just started giving, and it's spelled L-A-B-R-E shots to my almost 13-year-old lab husky mix.
Good.
Are these temporary relief shots, or should I see some improvement? Her legs are still shaking in the bag.
Okay.
Maybe they meant in the back. I'm not sure. In the bag.
Yeah. That is an excellent question. Labs in general, shepherds, golden retrievers, large breed dogs, you know, that have a predisposed to arthritis.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, especially shepherds. I mean, if a shepherd, when it gets older, doesn't have like arthritis in its hips and back,
really a shepherd.
I started thinking, okay, what's wrong with this dog? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
It's like little Yorkies and toy breeds having little kneecaps that popping out. I saw one this morning and it had one, and the owner's concerned. I said, hey, you know, if I had a nickel for every one of these I diagnosed, you know, but, you know, it's not normal, but it's not. It's not uncommon.
Gotcha.
But the Librela shot.
Called Librela?
Librela.
Okay.
I believe is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Librela is a nerve growth factor inhibitor. It inhibits the pain response to the osteoarthritis. Arthritis is an inflammatory thing. I have it. Mm-hmm. You know, I had my knee injected last week. I'm going to pitch out to Dr. Travis Roth out at Andrews. His dad treated me, and my wife, and Travis is just super duper. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you have, I know you're probably like me, you play football and now you're paying for it 50 years later.
A low knee replacement.
Exactly. So they got this something called Duralane you stick in your knee. And I'll tell you, I feel like Superman about a week later.
Yep.
Anyway, it is a shot to answer the question. You know, I'm ADHD, guys, so just hang with me. The shot, I recommend it in his doggy's case, probably every month. You know, you don't want your dog to hurt.
Mm.
And I also recommend giving a little non-steroidal, like Prevacox, Remedil, whatever your veterinarian likes.
13 years old is getting up there, and a husky's a big dog.
Yeah, and labs and all those guys. Yeah, I mean, the oldest dog I ever treated was a 22-year-old golden retriever.
22?
Correct, yeah, it's a record.
Wow.
And that's another story.
Yeah, we'll have to come back and talk about that
one.
Yeah,
it's Ponce de Leon did not land in Central Florida. He landed in Pensacola Harbor by Jocko's down there. That's because of where these people live. But the Librela, I would recommend it every month.
Okay, that's pretty often then.
As long as you're good response, I would recommend giving some type of non-steroidal once a day, maybe two or three times a week. Mm-hmm. That's what I do to my patients. We do a lot of orthopedics in my office. Also, laser, there's a cold laser we use at the office that you can use on the knees and hips. So to answer the question, it depends on the pet.
Right.
However, at this point, I think it's ideal to do.
Mm-hmm.
The way I handle it is I diagnose it. I charge a little exam, give the shot, and then I usually check them about every 3 or 4 shots,
okay.
You know, where I get just a little brief exam. I just want to make sure everything's going okay. Do we need anything? Otherwise, my wonderful techs, they'll go in there or run out in the car, stick your butt in the front door, run up there and give the shot, and you're out the door.
There you go. Yeah. Talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. And by the way, it is time to make your reservations for the holidays if you're going to be boarding, right? You might want to. We only got a couple minutes left. Yeah. I thought you wanted to mention that before we go.
Yeah, we fill up quick. It's something I'd recommend you do sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
We always get people at the last minute that want to come in. And we try to work with everybody. We do take a lot of dogs that are not very trustworthy and that have issues and problems. So, we always try to make accommodations for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not one of these facilities where, you know, if you bark, you're not going to come in. There's a lot of that out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
sure.
But we've been around for 24 years.
Well, it's a big facility, too. You might want to mention that.
Yeah, it's about... Well, the clinic's about 5,000, 5,500, and the rest of it's about 10,000. So we got plenty of room. We got a lot of acreage for them to run and play. I've got a great staff that's been there forever. We really take care. I'm the only facility where I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there. And
that's
I live
great.
5 minutes from there on the weekends. I'm always up there doing something yard work-wise. So I'm available for folks. And we'd appreciate, give us a call. Leander's our manager. She does a super job. Haley runs the daycare. Mm-hmm. They're having all kinds of little, you know, parties back there at the daycare. They have
awesome.
Sprinkler parties.
Aww.
Where they get to run through.
I like the pumpkin party.
You know, there's going
to
be some Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, we have a kissing booth at Valentine's.
Oh, wow.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I love that.
The girls do a great job. But I appreciate all your business and all your support with the show. We love you and God bless. And we'll see you next time.
Well, I have one last text that came in that I have to share with you
because
it's pretty good.
I agree with you.
It says, I shed a lot of hair from my head. So I'm going to try the underneath combing treatment like you do for your dog, hoping it works for me. Ha ha.
Yeah. Tell him or her they want to get some Rogaine and put on their tooth just in case it doesn't come back.
Exactly. And it was not paid by the sponsor, by the way. They're not the sponsor of the show, but there you go.
No, correct. Yeah.
That's great.
You know.
Okay, you can always hear wonderful things on this show. It's Sit, Stay, and Listen with Dr. Mark. He is Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital. And as we mentioned, Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. How many years have you been practicing now, sir?
Well, 30 years, but 24 years here. I mean, where does the time go?
I don't know. I don't know. It's going faster.
Yeah, we do a lot of, we do everything at the office. I do a lot of surgery. We do a lot of cancer surgery and stuff, but we'll take good care of you. It's very personalized. You're not going to see a lot of people. You're going to see me.
Okay. I love that. Great doctor, great veterinary, always has great things and advice. So please check out the website at
Olive Branch. pet.com.
There you go.
Just look on the, just Google it. Okay.
Cool. There you go. Sit, stay, and listen with Dr. Mark. Thanks so much for being here today, Doctor.